Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Terry Barber's here, too. Terry's a good friend of ours, a longtime Brain Trust member. He is an expert in the area of inspiring your people. He's an expert in helping you get that inspiration thing added to your leadership array of skills. He's a corporate trainer. He's the founder of Inspiration Boulevard. He's the author of the outstanding book, The Inspiration Factor, and he's our good friend, Terry Barber. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. What a privilege to be able to be back and be a regular part of the Brain Trust. Thank you.
Well, we're glad to have you here. We're glad you're a regular as well. Terry, one of the things that that companies have to always do, a company's culture, a company's brands, and I'm talking about the way the brands are considered by not only by external but also internal stakeholders. All those things are like a garden, aren't they? They got to be continued. You got to continue to weed them. You got to continue to cultivate them. You got to continue to nurture them, don't you?
Oh yeah. And if you don't, then it's just like we like to refer to it probably much more in the realm of health. They really do get sick. And yeah. They have certain symptoms that you can look at, and you go, that means this, that, and the other. And we have certain names for the diseases, and they need to be treated.
You've been one of the things you've been working on is identifying organizational diseases, I'll flip over to your metaphor instead of my weeds and overgrowth undergrowth metaphor. You found these organizational diseases. What's an example of what it might look like?
Probably the top organizational disease that we find across the board, especially in 2011, we call it HMB disease. Not real hard to figure out. I hate my boss disease. In the New York Post employee survey 2011, 55% employees not just dislike, but the word is despise their boss.
Wow. When was this taken?
In 2011, just earlier this year.
Wow. Over half have a visceral dislike of their boss.
Yes.
So that's not good.
They would love to be a part of firing their boss. It's
wow.
Like that's part of what they dream about. It's what they fascinate about during the so-called daydreaming types of operation is what
right.
They can do to basically unseat their boss.
Right.
Now tell me if that's not a sick disease in terms of what it's doing to business.
Well, it is. But you know, I'm going to give bosses a little bit of slack. I'm going to cut them a little bit of slack, Terry, and say that you got a certain number of people who are never going to be happy with any boss. You got a certain number of people who are whiners. You know what I mean? And so I'm going to discount that number. I hear you, but I'm going to discount that number. But I still would say that even if it's a third, that's not good.
No, 55
may be too much, but a third, you know, if we discount it even down to a third, that's still too much.
Yeah, in fact, I would don't even mean to imply that it's all on the boss's domain in terms of the issue and the concern, because I think the truth is there are a lot of whiners and people who really
yeah.
don't want to be proactive and responsible for their own life. So why not blame my boss? It's easier to get off the hook that way.
But to me the issue is we still have a leadership problem here. Either the leader didn't hire the right people, or the leader is not inspiring their people.
Yeah. Well, thank you for setting that up, because I think that what you've just done is made a beautiful segue into the root problem, which is a brand problem. And when a brand is not totally defined and its distinctives are not outlined, and all those things that make it very, very different and unique, kind of that code of honor is not followed, then why not bring anybody and everybody that comes in just because they're so-called gifted or talented or qualified? And then we bypass some of the more important things in and around, are they really a fit for our culture? And
right.
if they're not, save yourself a lot of hassle up front and continue to look for that which is aligned in terms of the values of your culture.
Right.
Some businesses are really catching on, and I think our friends at Zappos have done an incredible job of setting a bar and a standard for being able to think that way. But it's tough turning the ship around.
Well, I like the way you focus the brand inward. You're recognizing that you know, a lot of times when we talk about branding on this show, when I try to encourage small business owners to just recognize that they have a brand or brands, you know, a lot of times those discussions, those ideas are focused outward to external customers. But what you're saying is so correct and so important, that because you know, our brands are actually, they start, the brand actually comes to life internally, doesn't it, initially?
Yeah, in fact, you know, it's really interesting. When that does not become a reality to begin with, then it is a real hotbed of just a petri bowl of opportunity for more disease.
Right.
And quite frankly, even customers figure this out after a while. You know,
well, then you're not going to get away with that in what I'm calling the age of the customer, Terry, because because without that internal support for your brands and that internal demonstration, the manifestation of your brands through your people, without that, then your marketing message sounds like manipulation, and you can't get away with that anymore.
No, absolutely. And quite frankly, Jim, this is where we spend every day of our life in terms of our work, is helping organizations, number one, uncover what is truly inspiring about their brand so that it's attractive to the employees to begin with, but then helping employees align their gifts, their strengths, their ambition, their
right.
personal aspirations into the aspirations of the brand, and causing them to want to live the brand.
But that takes leadership, not management. That's where management has to go to the next level, and they have to say, all right, I am actually the manager of this department, but I want to be the leader of these people. What do you think, Terry?
Oh, absolutely. I was actually on the phone with a client the other day in the UK, and his very thing to me was, hey, we need help in this leadership development area, especially in inspirational leadership, because our managers, so-called bosses, think their role and their job is to tell somebody else what to do.
Right. Yeah, instead of lead, they're drivers, not leaders. Terry, give us your website quickly, please.
It's giinspiration.com.
Giinspiration.com. Check it out, folks. The book is called The Inspiration Factor. And we're going to be right back with Terry Barber right after these messages. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.